everybody. This is Dan Jarms, and this is the podcast One Simple Truth. On One Simple Truth, we take issues that are pressing on us today, and we answer them according to God's all-sufficient word. We take the whole title of One Simple Truth and that little tagline with God's all-sufficient word from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who calls us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. We are wanting to live in a way that honors and pleases Christ, and God's word has a way to help us. It is sufficient for us to do that. This is episode 50. This is the 50th podcast, and hopefully they're an increasing encouragement. I was asked last week if I would do a podcast or two about fighting discouragement during the pandemic, and indeed we need to. Tied to this verse, yesterday we looked at the promises of God that are encouraging for our soul. Today, I want to do something called How to Fight the Pandemic Blues. This is where we get active in our thinking and our actions. First, let's grab a cup of coffee. I have my White Pottery Barn dinnerware mug. I have a Dogwood Coffee Company out of Minneapolis. I have a blend called Mixtape. It's Colombian and Brazilian. I hope you have something fun to drink as we do this, as we sit over the table over a cup of coffee and we talk about how to fight the pandemic blues. Okay, I have a series of rhymes, admittedly potentially cheesy, but perhaps memorable. All right, let's fly through them. I've got four pithy, cheesy statements that may help you. First, flour don't sour. How do you fight the pandemic blues? Seek ways to grow and bloom and not get bitter, right? So here's where we get that. We're going to look at Philippians 4 and Romans 8 as great encouragements and exhortations to us to help us. Philippians 4, 4 through 5 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now, you notice that word always, even during a pandemic, a lockdown, what we feel like are overreached or unsubstantiated government actions, or what is a terrible raging disease, because for some there have been real problems. All that's true. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, rejoice. And he says, it's no problem for me to tell you this again. Because it is so important for us. And he says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." And meaning the presence of the Lord is right near us. The Spirit of the Lord is in us. Okay, why could we rejoice during this time? I think one of the things my wife and I have been talking about is the lockdowns or pandemics or the difficult circumstances, whether we agree with them or not. That's not my point. Reminds us of how many mercies and graces we take for granted. And this, we often feel this way. I often feel this way when I have a bout of bad health. I suddenly realize, man, I have been enjoying good health. That's really been an undeserved mercy by God. I've been enjoying good health without really being grateful for it. So it applies to church gatherings and limits. It applies to being able to see who we want to see, when we want to see. And tomorrow's Thanksgiving. And normally we'd be at a place with 20, and we're probably going to be at a place with 5 or 6. And like, it's just not the same for us. But it reminds us all those things that we have enjoyed previous to this were really mercies from God. Even those things that we consider American rights, like the right to gather, right to assemble, free exercise of religion. All those things might be American rights given by the providence of God because he's good. But also, those are mercies that we didn't deserve as sinners. There's only one thing we've earned our way to, and that is eternity in hell. I'm not there right now, neither are you. So as the saying long has been said, I'm not in hell. I'm not in hell. That's what I really deserve. So it should prompt you to rejoice. And I would encourage you, find a whole bunch of things that you have at one time taken for granted. Now meditate on those and rejoice. And then those are things you're to rejoice in the Lord about. He has been giving you those. A second one, First, flower don't sour. Second, lament don't vent. We all have frustrations and complaints. We all do. And if we were to look at Romans 8, we would see that there is this thing we call the groaning. This groaning that we were hoping for in Romans 8, 23, 24, 25. We've been groaning. The whole creation groans under this weight that we have been struggling under. And we are in it. Things aren't the way they were created to be, and they aren't the way that they will one day be. And the whole creation and all of us groan under those. Well, that gives rise at times to great frustration. And while I would say emotional processing with a godly person can be really help you get things in the open, a godly person can help you expose and expand, it can also leave you stuck. And if you're not careful, it can even create mental ruts you can't get out of. In other words, sometimes, oftentimes, just venting without a due process to go to the Lord creates ruts in your mind of bitterness. So we want to lament, not vent. And what do I mean by that? We don't teach a lot about venting or lamenting. Sorry about that. But I would say if you ever want to see a really, really good example of it, what John Gardner did last Sunday as he led us through a lament is a really, really great teaching point on it. But here's how I summarize laments. One third of the Psalms are laments. There's this lament in Romans 8. There are laments in Revelation where the saints are still waiting and longing for the fullness of the return of Christ. But here's what a lament is. It's turning your pain and your complaints into prayers, turning your pain and complaints into prayers. And you take your pain, whether it's and it's a humble thing because you perceive wrongs and injustices that God may not perceive that way, but you take them nonetheless to God and you tell him exactly how you're feeling because he knows how you're feeling. And you do it with an attitude of humble teachability and an attitude of trust. Here's an illustration. If you're getting customer service from some attendant and you just feel like it's not quite right, well, you can chew them out, but what you really need to do is to take your complaint to the right person, the manager of the department, because that's the person who has authority and that's the person who has ability. Well, in the right way, we need to take those things that we lament to God and we leave them to him to answer. And the great promise from it is that it will keep us from being anxious and worried and continually angered. So again, in Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I think that peace is talking about this. Remember, you have a direct relationship with the Father because of the cross work of Jesus, and he has adopted you into his family. You can fully trust him. That's the peace that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, all that Christ has done. So lament, take those to God, take them open-handedly and humble and say, God, I don't understand this. Here's the injustice or here's the pain that I feel. I'm going to leave it to you. I thank you that you do love me and I am yours. So it's a really a call to pray during suffering. Number three, learn, don't burn. So one of the themes has been bitterness and anger because frustration will push you to bitterness or anger. Frustration is not necessarily bad. Frustration is just an acknowledgement that things aren't as you want them to be and maybe even as they should be. But frustrations easily turn to something else, could be anger. So you want to learn, and this is this great lesson out of Romans 8, where we have a set of promises in Romans 8 that are just astonishing and astounding. Nothing could separate us from the love of God. And Romans 8, 28, we have this promise that God works all things out for good. But we often forget the second part of that promise, the working all things out for good, that it conforms us to the image of God. And I hear this all out. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Okay, so the way we say that in biblical counseling is God sovereign? Answer, yes. Is God in control? Yes. He hasn't changed your circumstances, has he? No. I wonder why. Is there something in you that he wants to conform to his image? Since he could change the circumstances that you don't like at any moment, and he doesn't, and he's sovereign, there must be a good that he wants you to get out of this. So I find it very helpful to say, God, what, since you haven't changed my circumstance, since you have allowed this injustice or this pain or this sorrow to enter into my life, what are you wanting to root out of me so that I can be more like Jesus? How can I suffer and be godly like Jesus was? He was left as 1 Peter 2:22-25 says to leave us an example that we had fallen in his steps. We need to be conformed to the image of his son. One day there is going to be that great feast before the throne, and Jesus is going to resign elder brother, and we are all going to have been shaped into his image. What a picture that is. He allows that shaping right now. So I would be asking questions about, why am I angry? Why am I grieved? Why am I bitter? What was I wanting? What was I looking for? How have I been behaving? What's my typical response? Is it, do I start blaming? Do I start attacking? Do I go prayerless? Like, there's all kinds of thoughts and behaviors that are just part of us that, until we are shaken with an issue, we don't know what's in our hearts. And I would say, we've been saying it among the elders and pastors now for 9 months, that hearts are being exposed across the Christian community. Hearts are being exposed for what we value most and what we love most. And you can tell when it's going wrong is when there are bitter or unloving thoughts toward other believers over these things. And so there's something we're wrongly valuing. And sometimes we have a right value, what I call it, the wrong volume, because our identity is tied up in something. And our identity being tied up in something means that those frustrations get a volume. So instead of being a lament or a right sorrow, and I'm all for godly sorrow and all for godly anger, but those things tend to be low in volume instead of high in volume. Angry at people and angry at God tends to get high in volume. And so sometimes just by the volume of your attitude, friends of ours would talk about a 5-foot, 10-foot, and 50-foot attitude. Like, if you have a 50-foot attitude that is just tearing everybody else down in your midst, or just casting a cloud into the room, well, then you're probably valuing something too high. How do you diagnose these things? Well, what kind of attitude am I bringing into the home? What kind of attitude am I showing to my coworkers? How am I a complainer or a rejoicer? What kind of person am I? So there's all kinds of things. So learn, don't burn. God has good things to teach us so that we'd be more like Jesus. And he promises, when this happens, that we will have greater joy in him. Finally, initiate, don't isolate. And I think this, to me, is the biggest encouragement. God made us to love others. And that's the 1 John 4 passages about God showing his great love for us by giving us his son and Jesus coming for us. And greater love has no one than he lay down his life for his friends. And the temptation when we are frustrated is to isolate. And as a shepherd of the flock at Faith Bible Church, I'm finding I have to go after people who have chosen to isolate instead of initiate. They're frustrated with what the elders are doing, and they keep their own counsel, and they isolate and pull away. That doesn't produce love for people. That produces greater and greater bitterness. But it's so natural. I do it. We all do it. I mean, that was the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they sinned. They found out they were naked, exposed, ashamed. The Lord comes to walk with them as he usually would in the cool breezes of the day, and they go hide. That is the common thing. And that hiding turns the self-focused sin that we've already fallen into, it amplifies it. If we can use the volume, it turns it up. We go and hide. We don't love. We actually start getting madder and madder at people when we isolate, and we say, nobody's coming after me. I've isolated. I've hidden away, and nobody's coming after me. We are funny people. I do it. We all do it. So we have to look at the initiating love of Jesus, who left his throne for us so that he could not only live among us, but he could suffer and die for us so that he could bear God's wrath for us so that he could be our Savior. We look at that love, that 1 John 4 love, for God is love, and that is what we want to emulate. And it takes a confession of selfishness, and then it takes a prayerful question. God, who do you want me to reach out and love today? Who's feeling isolated like I am, and who can I reach out and love? So those are helpful truths for us. I hope this encouragement on this podcast is good. It's fitting at all times. These four truths: flower, don't sour; lament, don't vent; learn, don't burn; and initiate, don't isolate, are universal. Universal helps to fight any kind of blues, especially pandemic blues. That's one simple truth for today. If these are helpful, or you have requests of things you want me to talk about, you could send to info@fbchurch.org. Happy Thanksgiving.